What's up, everybody? Welcome to Full Draw Friday, number 62. Another edition of Full Draw Friday on a Saturday. If you guys have been listening to the show for the past couple years, you know that occasionally, especially during the season, these Full Draw Fridays will come out on Saturdays because I get busy through the week and I either don't get them recorded or I don't get them posted. So my apologies for that. It's going to happen again. This won't come out on Carbon TV probably until Tuesday, just because I can't post stuff there on the weekends and I don't want to overload them with episodes because we got stuff coming out Monday too. The first episode of Fall Pursuit will come out Tuesday though, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Today on this episode, I'm going to be talking a little bit of behind the scenes stuff on a hunt that you will see on the first episode of Fall Pursuit, and something I've been kind of fighting for the last few days, and I don't know exactly what direction I'm going to go with it, but I think there's probably some stuff in there that you could take away from it, some of the stuff that I've done that maybe you can learn from, that I kind of sorted my way through and finally got where I needed to be with it. But that's what we're going to get into on Full Draw Friday, number 62. I will say also on Carbon TV, these things are numbered weird. On anything else, I can do different seasons. And so I can have like a Full Draw Friday, number 62, and then a regular episode, number 62. Well, on Carbon, I don't know if I can have two of the same numbered episodes. So right now, I'll have to figure that stuff out. But right now, last week's Full Draw Friday is like number 6102 is the episode podcast. So Full Draw Friday would be 02 and then 61. And this one would be listed as 6202. So just so you know, what you're seeing on there isn't messed up. That's kind of by design. But all that said, let's get into it. Full Draw Friday, number 62. All right, most of the time I do not like not having a plan for these Friday episodes because I'm by myself 95% of the time, and sometimes I lose my train of thought and it's hard to keep up with it, but I think it'll be okay this week because I'm just going to talk about what's been going on kind of the last 2 or 3 days, I guess. Today is the 5th, so last 3 days, basically since I shot my doe last Tuesday, no, Wednesday, which was the 2nd. So I started out this year, I had some Bloodsport arrows that I wanted to shoot, I wanted to try this year. I've had them in the shop for a while. They're micro diameters. I've been wanting to try some micro diameters for a couple years and just hadn't made the switch, so I figured now would be as good a time as any. So I got those cut to length. I put the outserts on them, and then I went to shooting field points. Everything seemed to be shooting fine. I mean, I was shooting great out in the backyard at the target. Everything was flying good. And then I ordered some recently. I had some broadheads that I was thinking I was going to use, but decided not to. Pretty last minute. This was like end of September. So I ordered some others and just ordered 125s like I've been shooting for the last few years and didn't think anything of it. And I'd been shooting 125 grain field points too. So, I mean, I just didn't think anything about it. I ordered those broadheads, got them in, and started shooting them. It seemed like everything was flying okay. And I didn't really have any issues or anything. They were tracking good. I was able to shoot a good group, seemed like, with them. So I had all the confidence in the world going into my first hunt there on the 2nd. So much so that when this doe came out, so a little bit of this backstory, I guess, because I don't remember if I covered it a ton on the episode that will come out Tuesday, but I believe it's the same deer. She came in behind me while I was setting up. She saw something, didn't know what it was. She ran off back to where she came from. She came back again, got to like 8 yards, stopped and stared at me. Stomped her foot, blew, turned around, and ran off. And then I figured she was just gone. But I knew there were a lot of does in the area, so I wasn't too worried about it. I figured there would be more come out later. One thing about those does, especially when they have fawns early season, and then again late season when they've been pressured for the whole year, they are very, very spooky, and they will blow at about anything. So I don't really worry too much if I have one blowing at me about what might come out later, because I think they learn to some extent, especially mature bucks, probably ignore what those does are doing and blowing and carrying on. They might like you might get their attention for a second, but I don't think that doe blowing is gonna run a buck off every time or the whole herd of does. Because if it did, they'd be running all over the country all the time. Because like I said, they get spooked by almost everything when they have fawns early in the year and then after they've been pressured so much late in the year. So that's something to keep in mind. But eventually, I was sitting in the stand and taking some B-roll footage, and I heard her blowing again. And I look up, and she's down this little lane, probably 100 yards, 75 yards maybe, and she's blowing and stomping her foot. And she wasn't really where she should have been downwind of me. However, the wind on the second was like 2 miles an hour, so there wasn't much. And she was kind of down, like I said, down this lane, which followed this creek bottom. So I'm assuming my thermals were kind of pulling in that direction. Because in the evening, they're going to pull down, and they're going to go to those low areas. So that she might have caught a little bit of a whiff of that from my thermals. But either way, she was more curious than concerned, evidently, because she actually ended up coming closer, like they'll do sometimes. So I just kind of got ready and got everything set up, got the camera rolling. And she was coming up the lane. I was getting ready for a shot in front of me. Well, she finally hit a point where she couldn't take it anymore, and she blew, and she bounded off into the open field back to my left, which is where I was planning on the deer being anyway. And she stopped and stayed alert for just a little bit looking in my direction, and then she just put her head down and started feeding. And she would feed and walk out a little farther, and then she'd pick her head up and look my direction, and she'd put her head back down and feed. And one thing worth mentioning, and maybe part of what saved this hunt, and I think it's something that a lot of people could utilize a lot more often, is I always keep, if you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. A mouth call, a turkey diaphragm call in my pack. So as soon as she started blowing the second time, I pulled that thing out and just started turkey calling. And I think sometimes it either confuses them enough, where if they don't have you pegged and they don't know exactly what you are, you can get away with maybe a little bit of scent going towards them or them seeing a little bit of movement for sure, and they would kind of blow it off as a turkey. So I did some of that, and I think that probably had a lot to do with the reason why she kind of calmed down a little bit and just wasn't real sure and didn't run off for good. So she started working her way through this open field, picking on some of the weeds that were out in it, and she was moving towards one of my shooting lanes. And I believe I said she was at like 35, and I think she was closer to 40. She was somewhere between 35 and 40. I had my pin set on 40, and I did hold low because I knew I actually had to stop her. And I wouldn't probably normally take that shot in that situation, except for the fact that she'd been blowing at me, and everybody knows the rules when it comes to does. So I was holding low, and I took the shot, hit her what looked like maybe a little back, but she was quartering a tad, and she did spin out. Because again, she was at almost 40 yards, so she had some time. She ducked and spun, ducked right into the arrow. I mean, up and down, it was perfect. But it ended up being just a hair back. And I thought, on the video, when I first looked at it, I thought that she was probably hit really well. And I actually thought it was a little bit farther forwards than it was. And of course, there was a leaf kind of in the way. You could see the arrow, but the leaf was over her vitals, really. And so I got down and I actually started tracking her. And then I saw the blood, and it was dark, but it had some brighter red mixed in it, but it wasn't a bunch of it. I thought maybe I'd even got part of her heart based on what I saw on the little screen of the camera, so I was expecting more blood. The dark blood didn't concern me because I knew with her quarter, and I probably got her liver, but there was just a little bit of light blood in it. So while I had daylight, I tracked her down because I knew she'd crossed the creek, so I tracked her down and up on the other side of the creek. I marked the spot where she went out into the open field or where it looked like she did, and ended up going back later and recovering that deer. I ended up hitting center punch the liver on one side, clipped the stomach just a little bit on that side, and then got the back part, a whole broadhead into the back part of her offside lung. So ended up being she died within 100 yards. It was a good shot, not as good as I thought it was, but definitely not a bad shot. However, when I played it back on the computer, and this is kind of where things started, my troubles over the last few days, I noticed that the arrow came out of the bow and it kicked a little bit funny, and it just looked like it wasn't flying real great. And I knew, obviously, I didn't hit anything. There was a clear shooting lane to where I was at. I wasn't concerned about, I've had grip issues before with wearing gloves, but it was definitely not glove-wearing weather, so I wasn't wearing any. So I knew that wasn't an issue. So I got the bow out that night, and I set it up in the backyard. I turned the light on in the backyard and put a spotlight on the target and did some shooting. And the arrows, and I don't know if it was because it was dark and the lighted nocks were just showing it more versus when I was shooting in the daylight before. I hadn't really done any shooting when it was that close to dark with the broadheads or anything. So maybe that's what finally led me to see it. But the arrows were just wobbling, and they were not stable. They would, the tail end would kick out. You guys have probably all seen that, the arrow fish tail and stuff when something is a little bit off. You can especially see it if you're torquing your bow one way or the other with your grip, which can happen occasionally. So, you know, the first couple times I thought, well, gosh, maybe my grip's off. So I got that settled in where I, again, knew it needed to be, and things just still were not good. So I messed with my rest a little bit. That didn't seem to affect it any. Eventually, I started figuring out my forward of center on the weight on these broadheads. Because again, remember I said I ordered these 125s to go on the end of this micro diameter arrow. Well, I was close to 30% FOC, which, I mean, some people like to be that way, but I really do think that was a lot of the problem. So I threw a 100 grain broadhead on there, and I shot it, and out to 20 yards, it seemed like it was flying pretty good. So I thought maybe I had solved the issue. I just was a little bit too heavy on the front end. Now, these were 300 spine arrows, so I knew I wasn't underspined. And I'm shooting in the middle of this while I decided I was having to tune stuff anyway, which was made my life a little more difficult probably. But I went ahead and I tightened down my limbs all the way because I could get a few more pounds out of my bow. They were maybe a full turn left on them, so I went ahead and cranked them down because I knew I was going to be fighting this anyway, so I thought it'd be a good time to do it. I also took some slow motion video. This is before I shot it that after dark. I took some slow motion video, and so this was not the same night I shot the doe. I think I said that, maybe said that earlier. It was not that night. It was the next night because I had shot the bow in the daylight because my first actual thought was maybe my rest was hitting because I've had that problem before. Well, it definitely was. It was dropping, but it was popping back up after it dropped, and it was smacking the fletchings. So I put this, I put a hostage rest on there, which is like the three-pronged whisker biscuit-looking kind of deal. And I shot it, and I was still having issues. I thought, but definitely that was not helping things. But anyway, so then I went to the 100 grain broadhead after I figured my forward of center and all that stuff. So I have this rest on here. I now have the 100 grain broadheads. And the following day, I went back out to do the same thing and shoot it some more. Well, of course, I have to mess with my sight pin and getting it all reset because I've got the HHA slider. So I had to realign it and get it all sighted back in, take the sight tape off and put new ones on and all that, which you have to do at 20 and 40 yards. So when I got out to 40, I noticed even with the 100 grains that these arrows were just not flying great. So I thought, well, I'll go see if I can find the arrows I had from last year and see if they're going to work any better. So I knew where they were at. I went and grabbed those. These are Easton. I think they're 6mm. They are aluminum wrapped. They're not I think they are FMJs. I take that back. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. I got those out. I put the 125 grain head on it and still just could not get it to fly right because these were heavier. They're like 10.6 grains per inch where the micro diameters were 9 point something. And these are 340 spined instead of 300. So I messed with that and eventually I decided I'll put the 100 grain head on this arrow and see if that makes a difference. And finally, that's what did it. I went and got another rest, actually a newer version kind of the one I was shooting. It's a True Glow brand, I think. I may order another drop away, but I'm going to use this one at least until I get that. And I'm thinking I will still go to these two blades with bleeders. They're actually Magnus buzz cuts that I had ordered. I'll probably get some 100 grain versions of those, but I got some Muzzies 100 grains just till I want to go or till I can get those in or order those and get those in. But I ended up throwing the 100 grain Muzzies on the end of the 6mm Easton full metal jackets at 10.6 grain per inch, 340 spine. And shot at 20 yards, seemed to be good. Shot at 40 yards on the sight tape, trying to get the sight tape locked back in. And it was shooting true again. So I think I finally solved the issue, but I don't know how many times. And I went through, my block target looks horrible now. I've shot so many times just messing with my grip, messing with the rest on my bow, messing with different combinations of different types of broadheads. I shot two blades through it. I shot some slick tricks that I had. I tried those because they were 100 grain. I tried some old three-blade just to see before I got these Muzzies. I had some of those old Allen, like Walmart brand three-blades, and those ended up really flying the best out of anything. So through all of that, I ended up losing an outsert and a slick trick inside my block target. It got stuck, and I could not get it out. I couldn't push it through either way. And it ended up pulling the insert and the slick trick off of there. So there's one of those buried in my target somewhere. But anyway, through all of that, I finally found the right combination at the poundage that I'm shooting now. I went ahead and I also adjusted my draw length. It was just a little bit short, and I just hadn't messed with it because I was shooting the bow good. So I decided also when I did the poundage, if I'm doing all this tuning anyway, I might as well get this where it's supposed to be. So I went ahead and adjusted it. So I've got the draw length correct, like exactly where it should be now. I mean, it was just one hole off, so it wasn't too bad, half an inch or whatever. But anyway, I'm more comfortable with that. I've got a little bit more poundage out of my bow. I've got a little bit heavier setup than what I would have had going in. Maybe not a whole bunch heavier because I did go from a 125 to 100 grain. But either way, I'm okay with the 100 grain because that arrow is a little bit heavier. So I don't like to be too light. I don't like to be too heavy. I like to land somewhere in the middle, and that's where I'm at with this setup too. So I've landed on all of that over these last 3 days. I'm finally confident in my shooting again, because after I saw the video of that arrow and then went out to shoot it, I was like, this is not a great time. Fortunately, it's been hot, so I haven't like missed out on a bunch of hunting or anything, but you never want to have this stuff happen in the season, and this is a good reason why you shouldn't wait. Maybe that's the lesson in all this. Don't wait till last minute to decide to change your broadheads or do something new, because then you're going to fight it. I was fortunate that nothing really bad happened on that doe, and maybe that's why I did hit her even a little bit back. I mean, I was holding off her shoulder a little bit because she was quartering, but it could have had something to do with the fact that I didn't double lung her. I didn't get part of both lungs. I ended up hitting farther back than even really I wanted to, but I'm pretty fortunate that arrow tracked as well as it did versus some of the ones that I was seeing. I mean, I couldn't get them to group for anything with those 125s on there with either arrow set up. So don't wait till last minute. And maybe the other lesson, though, on the other side of that is if your stuff's not flying good, though, don't be afraid to fix it. Because the last thing you want to do, like I said, I was lucky on that doe. The last thing you want to do is have a doe, any deer really, especially like your target buck, have them at 30 yards and then you're not completely confident in your bow, so that's in your head, or something goes wrong with it and it's not flying good, and that happens to be the arrow that flies way off, and you either miss him or even worse, you wound him because you didn't do your due diligence and fixing your setup. So make sure you don't wait till last minute, and that's kind of out the door for this year unless you haven't started hunting yet. But don't wait till last minute to do it. However, if you notice something is off, don't be scared to make those adjustments in season. So that's what I got for you this week, guys. I know it wasn't like our normal strategy or tactics or private land management or anything like that, but I hope it helps. Maybe you guys learning a little bit from my struggles, and it's good for me just to kind of walk myself through all that. And then I can always go back to this and listen. Even if nobody else listens to it, I'll be able to go back and be like, hey, dummy, don't do this again. This is what you need to do. Make sure your stuff's all in line, ready to go. And if it's not, you can still go back and fix it. Yada, yada. I appreciate you guys tuning in this week. I do plan next week on starting a new series. I think I'm going to call it Deer Hunting 101. It's going to be very basic level stuff for new hunters. We talk about all the time wanting to get new deer hunters into the sport. So I want to do something to help that, and I'm going to go very, very base level 101. And maybe after that, we might do like a 201 series or something. It'll probably be three parts, maybe. I haven't completely decided on the structure of it, but I'm going to try to start that next week. So make sure you tune in for that. Even if you're not a beginning hunter, maybe you can give it to somebody, tell them to listen to it that is, or you might get something out of it as well. May even just give you some information to give somebody who's asking about what they need to do to start hunting or how to go about it. So I think that one will be good. There'll be a little more substance in those upcoming Full Draw Fridays for you guys, hopefully. And maybe there was in this one too. I hope it was. I hope it was helpful. I know it was for me. So thanks for tuning in again, and we will catch you guys on the next one.